I completely relate to the frustration in trying to open up a conversation that's already so saturated. And that's actually one of the things that drove us to take on this project in this scope and in this format. We were encouraging people to zoom out a little bit and see if we were actually having the best conversation possible. And basically, we think that people should think about public safety a little bit more the way we think about public health, for example. No one would suggest that hospitals alone keep a population healthy, even if they're really amazing, well-run hospitals. But it's quite intuitive if you ask, what does a healthy community need to be healthy? It needs all sorts of things. It needs neighborhood clinics and good health education and parks and government policies that keep us safe when there's a public health emergency, and so much more. So health isn't just about hospitals. Similarly, safety isn't just about police. And so we wanted to zoom out and try and encourage and frame that other conversation. What are the other things that safety is about? And are we having the right conversation?
What actually makes a better neighborhood in these cases so that we have less mental illness, less crime, less need to call police and first responders in the first place?
It's important to take a step back and realize that we actually know a lot more about what keeps neighborhoods safe than our city budgets that are often tilted towards policing might suggest. For example, environmental interventions have been shown to have amazing effects on violence and crime. So, for example, vacant lot rejuvenation. Vacant lots are dotted over cities all over the country. They are often filled with trash or needles or other kinds of things that sometimes are related to criminal activity. And one experiment in Philadelphia, a randomized experiment, covered some vacant lots with grass and turned them into a park-like setting with a low fence, and it just totally transformed those. And they found that gun violence fell by 29% in the neighborhoods near the restored lots. That's an amazing effect. And also residents reported being less afraid to go outside and increased their use of outdoor spaces and relaxed and socialized more. And this is just one of many examples of the myriad tools that we have that promote safe, healthy communities that have nothing to do with policing and incarceration. And that's the kind of new conversation that we're trying to lift up.
Another big question you ask, one of many, is whom can we call for help? We need somebody besides the police. Who would that be?
It depends. And one of the exciting things is that communities all over the country and indeed world are experimenting with this. And so we're getting to watch these experiments in real time. For example, in Atlanta, where I am now, the Policing Alternatives and Diversion Initiative started in 2017. They were frustrated with how often the police were arresting people for activities related to poverty and homelessness, like public urination. These are activities that are often activities of survival that can routinely land people in jail when they're at their most vulnerable. And of course, we know that being in jail and being processed in the system itself can be incredibly traumatic and harmful. So PAD, as this program is called, works to keep community members out of jail by providing an alternative for community members to call or for police officers themselves to call instead of making an arrest. And today, those are the two sources of referrals that go to this program, who they show up and they have a support-driven response that can either offer the person support right then and offer them wraparound services that help them deal with the issues in their lives. And so today, law enforcement calls PAD instead of making an arrest, or community members call PAD when they see an issue and it looks like someone needs help or there's trouble, but they don't want to call the police.
The title of another op-ed caught my eye, that women and girls must be at the center of reimagining safety.
It's a really important perspective, and I think goes to the importance of trying to center the community's experience as we talk about reimagining safety. And so women and girls often have different experiences with the criminal justice system as they are incarcerated and also as they're in communities, whether that is the impact on often female family members to care for children when a male family member is incarcerated and the burden of that, or the unique experience that women and girls face within prisons, whether that's their different health needs or their different parental needs or them being incarcerated further away from their children when maybe they're a primary caregiver. So I think at the heart of that, and of course I should lift up the work here of the author of that op-ed, Andrea James, who runs the National Council, which is aiming to end incarceration of women and girls, would say perhaps that key to that work is centering communities and asking communities, what they need to feel safe and being open to the answers.
There's so much material, and we urge everyone to read it. But what would a final thought be?
I think I'd like to leave people with a sense of optimism and experimentation. This just feels to me like something fundamentally American that we can do. We can stop and take a look around and say, this isn't working, and we think we can do better. And we have this expansive country with creative people who are trying all sorts of things, and we can learn from each other. And that is really the spirit that I would want people to take away.